Please stand with me. We want to dismiss our children to Children's Church. I'd like to turn your attention to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse number 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all of the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather you rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I don't know how God does it. I don't know if there's this gigantic book that every time we're baptized, someone in Jesus' name, or they're filled with the Holy Ghost, that there's a special angel with a golden pen that writes their name in the book, and it's sealed. I don't understand that, but I know one thing for sure. My name is written in that book, and I want to keep it in the book. And then Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse number 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So apparently not only are our names written in the book, but there is a recording of whatever we've done in the book as well. I mean, we got a God that's a God of detail. He's recording everything that happens in this church service tonight. Whether you're talking to somebody during the preaching, got that down. Whether you're listening to the preacher, whether you're smiling and looking at me and determining what you're going to do tomorrow, he writes that down. Your works. You can't fool God. You can fool me, you can fool the person sitting next to you, but I'm telling you, God is a God that knows every little detail about your life. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says, "Remember therefore how that thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So, in other words, you can have your name in the book, and you can defile your garments, and your name can be blotted out of the book. That would scare me, folks, that I was once saved, and now I did something to defile the garments. Remember what this morning I said, that righteousness kisses peace. And there's something about living for God that brings peace in your life, knowing that my name's written down. Oh, it's wonderful that we have the power that we have, but it's better knowing my name's written down. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word, that there'd be an anointing, that we'd have an understanding of how privileged we really are. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My name is written in the book of life as yours is, or could be, or the book that will allow me to live forever and ever. We have two certificates that we get. One's called a birth certificate. The other is a death certificate. But there's a certificate that goes beyond death. It's a life certificate that is found in the book. And the reason my name is in the book of life is because I read the book that told me how to get my name in the book. There's no other way. There are people who can suggest and have even opinions of how you get saved, but if it doesn't come out of the book, your name won't go in the book. Am I confusing anybody yet? No one has asked me to read their book and forward it. I don't know if you understand what a forward is. It's when somebody gives them a book and says, please read this, and then at the end of the book, would you put your comments as to how wonderful my book is? Now, you wouldn't give that kind of book to somebody that you didn't like. You know, you're going to ask somebody that is favorable in your life. No one has ever asked me to do that. I've always wanted to write a book, but I've never gotten around to it. Or make a public statement of what I thought of their book. But Jesus has asked everyone in order to forward his book. Would you read it? Could I have your comments as to how good it is and how you respond to it? Jesus said in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, my book, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last days. So we can have opinions, but basically at the end of this life, there's going to be one thing and one thing only that's going to judge us, and it's based on what's in the book. God has inspired it, and God has kept it just for that. So in order for our names to be written down in the book of life, we first need to read the book that gives life and then respond to what it says. See, just reading Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't give you your name in the book, but you have to do what the book says in order to get your name in the book. But conversely, if you don't do and continue to do what's in the book, God said, I can take your name out of the book. And that keeps us on our toes in order to keep us in the pages of the book. Glory to God. I'm really going to need somebody to help me here. God paid the price for national health care and free prescriptions and free retirement. He did. But we have to sign up for the program. Everybody wants something for nothing, but so many people won't sign up for the program. Somebody's got to say, you know what, I want to sign up for the program. I want my name to be written down. I want to sign my name to the recall of Satan. Amen. Have you signed it yet? And just as important as getting our names in the book is keeping our name in the book. Right. Revelation 22:19 says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, the Bible, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. So when somebody says, these things are no longer necessary, you know, that was the old church, but we don't do this anymore, God gets very upset with them and said, you know what? I can take your name out of the book if you won't subscribe to what I have written. This is one book that I take very, very seriously. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:16 that people will use scripture unto their own destruction. And you know, you can do that. You can use certain scriptures to say, see, well, it really isn't that important anymore. Once saved, always saved. Really? Where is that in the book? What it does is give people false sense of security that I can do whatever I want. You can never be taken out of the book or out of God's hand. Well, that is not true. Then why would Jesus say, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved? There's a responsibility, and we're living in a day where everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and everyone who can compromise will compromise. But I am determined to keep my name in the book, because this is just a short period of time. What did Jesus mean when he said we have to endure? Paul had just two goals in his life: to get everyone he could in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to make sure that his name stayed in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, one of the most important things we have is to stay safe so the people around us can stay saved. Every time somebody falls, it jeopardizes somebody else's salvation. You know, and nobody falls and says, well, I'm in sin and I'm just not living for God. I'm on my way to hell, you know. But they somehow try to justify themselves or discredit something in the book or something in the church or something in the ministry, because they can't feel comfortable unless they do it. Last Monday night, I play on a little tennis league for a few weeks, and there was a guy that was there, knew that I was a minister, and he said, so your job is to get everybody to heaven, isn't it? And I said, well, I try. He said, well, I'm on my way to hell, and it doesn't matter. And I said, well, good luck with that, you know. See, he didn't believe in hell, or he wouldn't make those kind of statements, you know. He thinks this is just a big fairy tale, but I take this book and what's in it very seriously, because it's true. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Starting in verse number 18. Start in verse number 16. It says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, and that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Somehow we have to reach them all. Somehow we have to show interest in everybody. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I'm going to be a servant to everybody, and I know that's going to affect me somehow, and some ways I'm going to be disappointed. But you know what? I have one goal. I want to get as many people into the kingdom as I can, but I have to make sure that I stay in the kingdom, that I, even after preaching to a lot of people, that somehow I don't find myself a castaway. Some years ago, and I've mentioned this before, some years ago I saw a picture of a woman who had pierced her face 1,900 times, had all kinds of metal piercings in her ears, her nose, her cheeks, her tongue, her lips, everything. And the reason she did it is so she could get her name in the book, the Guinness Book of Records. I saw a bumper sticker this last week that said, body piercing has saved me. And it had a picture of Jesus on it with a crown of thorns and piercing in his hands. And yes, I must have been important to Jesus for him to have his body pierced so I could get in the book. Not the Guinness Book of Records, but in the book of life. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are people who dedicate their entire life to get some recognition and fame. And one of the things that God is just so absolutely against in the church is somebody who is looking for some kind of recognition. Look at me, clap your hands onto me, make sure that you give me the recognition. Because really, there should be only one that gets the recognition, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift him up. And you know what? You're not always going to have people clapping their hands for you. But as long as you know enough to clap your hands for him, there's where the recognition really comes from. There are people who dedicate just to get the fame, baseball Hall of Fame, football Hall of Fame, an Emmy, an Oscar. You know, it's the highlight of their life. I was in a restaurant this afternoon, and someone won the British Open, and they were holding up this trophy, and there were thousands of people taking pictures of them, and it's a big deal. But, you know, in a few years, no one will know who won this year's British Open. It just doesn't matter. The trophy will sit on the shelf, but it won't do any good for them. It won't give them an extra year of life. It won't heal them in any way. A hunk of plastic or metal on their mantle, their names in the book of worthless statistics. But I got my name in a book that will give me life forever. And ever. Hallelujah. A lifetime of effort so someone would recognize their accomplishments. Well, you know what? If I'm going to spend a lifetime of efforts, I want it to be something that's going to last forever and ever. But what if we could enter a greater Hall of Fame, a greater than football Hall of Fame, baseball Hall of Fame? Now entering heaven for the first time. Angels, let me draw your attention to James Schumacher, Jesus. Each of us could have our name called out as we walk into heaven. He's my son. She's my daughter. She's been faithful. He's been faithful. He endured to the end, overcame evil with good, persecuted for my name's sake. He loved the word and taught it to many, and now his name is found in my book, the book of life. You know what? Keep your Emmys. Keep your Oscars. Keep your Super Bowl ring. Keep your Hall of Fame. I want the crown of life that only can be given by Jesus Christ. If you turn to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, I love this scripture. I talked about how, you know, at the end of this whole thing, I want to have peace with my God, should the Lord tarry. I really feel, as I said this morning, God's coming quickly. When you think not, that's when he said. And I hope the church isn't lulled into a false sense of security that this thing is just going to keep going on and on. But he's given us some signs. 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So it's not up for question. It's a matter of all we have to do is finish our course, and we have a crown waiting for us. I'm not sure if the crown's so important, but the everlasting life, that's important, folks. Revelation, the 14th chapter, please. Verse number 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. There isn't anything that we do that isn't recognized by God. I don't care if you do it by yourself or you do it, you know, and nobody else in the church. See, what happens is not just contained in this building. But when we leave this place, we minister. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We minister to the body, to each other on a regular basis. And God sees every time we minister to some, a kind word, you know, a gift. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, we have a a false thinking that because we're saved and our sins are washed away, that we will not be judged. But there is a righteous judgment. Every one of us are going to stand before the Lord in judgment, and there's going to be rewards. We're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb, which is really going to be an awards banquet for the things that we have done. So, you know what? If I don't see it, it doesn't matter. If somebody else in this church doesn't see it, it doesn't matter. There will be a time where you're going to receive recognition for what you have done. And then Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Glory to God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Keep your hall of fame. I want to enter into the hall of faith, because that's a much more privileged place to be. Now, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, lists all of those who are in God's hall of faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. Could you do that? Could you do that? And then you enter into the hall of faith. By faith, Enoch had this testimony: he pleased God. I could do that. By faith, Abraham obeyed God and started for a land that God promised. Every one of us have done that. We got to the place where we started living for God, even not knowing where it was going to take us. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive because she judged him faithful who had promised. I believe that, even though it seems impossible. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff, or on the word of God. Even at the end of our life, we can please God by believing in God's word that there is a better resurrection. By faith, Joseph, when dying, talked about how Israel would depart from Egypt. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. You see, every time somebody's made a choice to do what was right and to believe in God's word, they entered into the hall of faith, and God listed them as great people that should be set up as an example for us. So how can you get into the book of books, the greatest record book ever kept, a book that will live on forever and ever? Obey the scriptures. Well, we need to obey Acts 2 and 38. We need to obey John 3 and 5, but we need to obey all of the rest of the things that are in the book, not compromise, because God is well pleased with us when we forward his book. No, I believe that. I read it and I believe it. I'll stake my life, my eternity on it. We can do exploits for God. We can exercise the faith that God put in each and every one of us in order to overcome even the worst obstacle. You might be surprised how many lions' mouths you've already stopped or shut. You might be surprised how you've escaped the edge of the sword, or out of weakness you became strong or became a testimony for somebody else. Perhaps even subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and how many promises have we obtained because we have already entered into the hall of faith? Yet there are three names in this hall of faith in Hebrews 11 chapter that didn't seem to do any great exploits. Three names: Moses' parents, Noah, and the harlot Rahab. Do you know what they all had in common? They didn't exercise great faith in some outstanding way. But you know all three of them, what they did? They saved their families. And if you never win a soul, or you never preach a message, or you never see a miracle by your hands, but you saved your family somehow, you enter into the greatest book that was ever written, and you enter into eternity with the applause of angels and the applause of God. By faith, Noah, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world because heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. You know, the neighbors watched you leave your house this morning all dressed up. Hallelujah. But more importantly, your kids were in the car with you. More importantly, you made it a priority in your life in order to get to church. Noah preached for 120 years and he didn't have one convert, but his family was in the boat. Moses' parents are in the book because they saw that Moses was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment to save their son. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care about drugs. I don't care about alcohol. I don't care what the neighbor kids are doing. I don't care what the kids are doing at school. Listen, you're a child of the King. And I know that God has great things for you. You want to get into the hall of faith? Keep that family saved. Put some parameters around them. I don't care what everybody else is doing. You're a part of the kingdom of God. Rahab let down a scarlet cord from the wall in Jericho and hid the spies of Israel. Why did she do that? So her family could be saved. She knew enough about God's people that if she didn't somehow help them, her whole family was going to suffer the consequences. Well, I don't think I'm doing anything great, Pastor. Are you making sure that your family is saved? Because you might save a whole bunch of people and lose your family. And there's nothing more important than keeping your family in the church. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed unto thyself, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear you." Hallelujah. But you got to first stay saved in order to keep your family saved. You have to adhere to the doctrine of God in order to keep your family saved. If you start compromising, there's a good chance your family is not going to be saved. Glory to God. There's a lot of people in here that I've married them, and now their children are sitting on the pews, and now some of those children are ready to get married. And thank God, from one generation to another generation, they're still in the church, and they're living for God, and they're in the book. Two last scriptures, if those people with instruments will come. Revelation 2, verse number 17, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a name, a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth." That white stone, if you would look that up, it's a verdict of acquittal, a ticket of admission. To him that overcomes, I'm going to give them of the hidden manna. Those people who are outside are never going to get or taste some of the things that we have afforded to us. But more important, he's going to give you a smooth white stone, which is a ticket of admission to another world, a verdict of acquittal, that your sins are remitted. I think that's pretty amazing. And then he's going to give you a name. I don't know what my name's going to be. I don't know what your name is going to be. But the Bible says he's going to have some kind of pet name for each and every one of us. Maybe it's going to somehow line up to what our life was all about. And then Revelation 3 and verse number 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Folks, each and every one of us are going to get a brand new name when we're glorified by God. And it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be something that God picks out. Now, I didn't pick out my name, had nothing to do with it. I'm sure way back in the day, there must have been somebody making shoes, and it kept going on and on until I finally got to the place where I think the part of the DNA is still with me because I like shoes. But I didn't pick out the name, and I didn't even pick out my occupation. But there's going to come a time with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is going to say, "This is the name that I've picked out for you, and I've written it in a book. It's already there." I want to know what that name is. But the only way I'm going to know is to keep my name in the book. Folks, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it hasn't entered into the imagination of what God has prepared for those that love him. We're not going to be able to comprehend the awesomeness of heaven. But I'm telling you what, I'm determined I'm going to get there. Are you? Would you stand with me? Glory to God. He has ordained that we gather ourselves together all the more as we see the day approaching.
And part of it is to receive a refreshing and a revival by His Spirit. But I also believe that there's another purpose for that, and that's to encourage one another in the Lord. I'm only one person in a congregation that's getting larger. And I can shake so many hands and have so many conversations. But the body needs to minister to the body. And when you're here, you know what? You ought to purpose somehow to encourage somebody else that's here. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. You're looking good. I've always admired this about you, because we need to make it together. It's not who made it first. I just want to cross the finish line with as many people as I possibly can. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The altar's open. Would you come?